The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
This is Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki.
I walked in the house through the back door, which entered straight into a bedroom, and there he was in bed, no clothes on, with another girl.
Oh, at the friend's house?
Yep.
Shit.
I always thought I'd be so angry if this ever happened to me, but I just sat there and froze in shock. I kept saying, what? Why? What is happening? And then the girl goes, oopsie, I better go, and runs out of the room. And he said, you should have known this was going to happen. I told you that you don't have sex with me enough.
Fucking gaslighter. Hell.
Cheers, babes. Welcome to Happy Hour with Lucy and Nikki, the real life shit you only discuss over a drink. But before we start, a little disclaimer.
So we're here for a good time and not a long time and a scandal cheating time.
Scandalous.
So if you are easily offended or if you're a cheater, then get out of here.
Seriously. So we're kind of like, fuck. You know, you always hear about cheating stories and honestly.
How's that show, Cheaters?
Imagine being on that show, Cheaters, like busting people.
I love it that it's always like with like kind of overweight American people that are like cheating in like gross kind of like hotels in Texas and stuff.
Literally.
Like, yuck.
Dude, one of my sister's friends actually recently busted her partner cheating, and the way she did it was proper like.
What? Can you tell this story?
Yeah, I probably can actually, so I'll hold off. We'll do our intro first.
We'll do our intro and then we'll get into it. Well, babes. How's your week been?
Yeah.
We're just, how does this podcast work again? Beep,
we're don't itching really know. At the seams to get into it. But yeah.
Itching at the seams? Is that a saying?
Oh, fuck you, Lucy Jackson. You're rubbing off on me, darling. What do you mean? Itching at the seams? Busting at the seams? Itching at the...
We're itching at the little seams.
Where am I itching? The crotch. I'm kidding. That's what the cheaters are doing. They got chlamydia from fucking up. There's your karma.
Oh, my God. We've heard so an good. Epic story. Anyway.
All right, so my week was grouse.
Nikki, stop trying to make grouse happen.
Grouse, that's for all my Melbourne punters in lockdown. Stay grouse. Stay grouse, babies. Fucking love you, lords.
Literally.
But yeah, no, week was good. We had a really busy week with work.
When aren't we having a busy week with work?
Always. I also went down for a little snow trip on the weekend, which was...
Little snow vacay.
Hashtag grouse. I'd never been to the snow before ever, and it was kind of like so touch and go because we were sort of like, fuck. I honestly just thought there was no chance that it was going to happen. I was like, nah, I'm not even worried. Like, we didn't even bother booking like a return flight until the night before when we decided we were actually going to go. And basically it was all fine because I flew into Canberra and then was able to go to Thredbo because it's not in lockdown, not a hot spot or anything. And yeah, I'm so bloody glad I did because, you know, I was sort of noticing like the fear, you know, you're always so scared of the unknown and like that's sort of what it's like at the moment. But yeah, so I'm glad I went. I tried snowboarding. It's very hard and I was very, very, very sore.
She was very sore the next day.
And also ended up at a cheeky little pop-up party at the local ski store in town, which was an absolute fucking vibe.
We love to see it.
We love to see it. But yeah, that was pretty much me, dolls. Still recovering with my sore legs and arms.
Well, I'm very excited for us to go to New Zealand, which I'm hoping doesn't have to get cancelled because of the world that we live in at the moment, because I need to desperately go to the snow. I was meant to be going this weekend actually, but my friends that I was going with recently were in Melbourne and then he had to like do a quick departure from there and he freaked out so much about that he's like, I'm too scared to do any kind of travel again. It's funny how it's starting to rub off on people's
really
traveling habits, isn't it? Like, yeah. Not only is there like the physical, like you can't come here vibe, which, you know, by all means.
Yeah. But even like when it is technically okay, it's like there's so much hesitation to do anything. And it's kind of like, fuck. My frame of mind is like, go if you can. Like, obviously do your research and like just try and fucking get out of there because you never know when the next time you won't be able to.
Well, my thing is too, I'm thinking at the moment, like the way the world's going, I'm like, fuck, are we going to be able to go to New Zealand? But
you just honestly.
And are we going to be able to do our live show?
I know, it's fucked. But like, this is what I'm trying to like reteach myself. It's like
manifest.
Plan, hope for the blessed.
Blessed.
Plan for the.
Hope for the blessed.
Hope for the blessed of the fruits. Hope for the best. Plan for the worst. And yeah, the show must go on. Anyway, what a fucking tangent. Recos for the week.
Recos for the week. You go first because I know you're dying for it.
So guys, I have got, we've spoken about this brand before, but it's Who Is Elijah, which is a perfume brand. They smell amazing. Like it's almost got a similar scent to Santal 33, which is like an incredible perfume. I have that one as well. But they do like handbag sized little tubes that still have a spray. And it's a his and her scent, so it's like very sort of gender neutral, unisex scent. And yeah, I fucking love it. I just leave it in my handbag at all times. It takes up no room. It's like just a little bit longer than like a, you know, a lipstick. So highly recommend that.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my recommendation for the week, we actually haven't spoken about a tanning product in ages. And I would just like to say I am always and loving, I'm on the loving tan train.
Yes.
Love it.
You are.
I live it, love it.
I tried some of yours the other day and it's actually great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's really good stuff.
Do you know, guys, for a really long time, like probably only like for like the last 3 years, before that I used to just tan with my hands because I didn't know you can get the little mitts. And one time I heard about these mitts, so I bought one and I bought the big long back mitt.
Oh, I remember that.
And I go, how the hell does this work? Lucy's like, what the hell is that? That's not a tanning mitt.
Yeah, yeah, no, so I remember the days of using your own hand.
I used to get it off with Jif.
God, technology's come a long way, doll.
Really big time,
doll. You know, one day you're using your hand, your next you got a little glove on. Who would have thought? All right, so quote for the week. Go.
Quote for the week. I have got, this one just came up on my Explore feed. Pep talks that you didn't know you needed.
Ooh.
One, don't allow your age, stage, or status to make you settle. Standards shouldn't have an expiration date. Love. What you've been holding on to is holding you back. Let it go. Be the kind of person you've always known you could be. That vision you had of yourself was to confirm who you are, not to confuse you. Grow to learn the difference between pressure and problems. Grow to learn the difference between breaking and breaking through.
Ooh.
And lucky last, there comes a time in your life where you got to decide to step up your entire life. Good enough just won't cut it anymore. There is a call on your life, a purpose for your existence. Act like it.
Ooh.
Deep.
That is deep. That's real, like, kind of motivational.
Yeah,
quote.
Yeah, love it. All right, what's yours?
Well, this isn't mine. I've got another one, but Nikki just sent me this because she said it reminds me of you, and I said, fucking, here we go. It's a giant coffee. I drink, like,
XXL.
XXL coffees, and it's like a hand holding the coffee in New York City by the looks of things. And on the coffee cup it says, if you're too much for them, they're not enough for you.
Hashtag one grande cappuccino, please.
I
love it.
No, but this is one of my favorite ones that was posted this week on We Are Not Really Strangers, I think it was, and it's my favorite page for quotes, and it said, you're going to figure it out like you always have.
I love that.
Sometimes you just don't feel like you're going to figure it out, but, you know, you always will, except I haven't yet, so still figuring it out, work in progress.
Mm. But yes, we're getting there. Anyway, let's get into these cheating stories because you guys unfortunately have sent through so many, which I literally hate for you guys, but also
I hate that so many of you are getting cheated on, but I also love it for content reasons. So, you know, like,
and you know what? Fuck those guys.
Getting cheated on. We actually were having this conversation in the car on the way here that I'm aware of. I don't think I've ever been cheated on. And thank God, because, man, I'm crazy enough as it is. Imagine if you added getting cheated on to that equation.
I reckon if I got cheated on, I would full Houdini. I would just honestly, like, fully just cut them from my life and have to, like, obviously circumstantial, but, like, because I reckon I would be very much the same, like, and go mad. And I reckon I'd have to have a really hard time letting go of it.
Do you know the craziest thing? Yeah. I feel like you'd have to cut them for sure. But what if you still love them? That's always the age-old question.
Exactly. Depending on the circumstances. But, like, yeah, I feel like if you forgive a cheater, you have to 100% fully surrender into that and forgive them and not hold it, like, hold that little resentment or, like, that kind of, like, one-up on them forever.
That
which
comes,
I reckon,
though,
I would do because I'm such a stubborn biatch.
That comes, though. No, you are stubborn, but you also are mature in, like, you can kind of work through things. But I think that it takes the person that did the cheating as well to then act in a certain way that makes the person still feel comfortable and reassured.
Yeah.
If you're like, hey, I cheated on you, and then every week and you're going out with your mates, not responding to messages, and then turning up at home 3 days later, of course that person's going to go crazy. But if you're then showing up, listen, like, everyone has the ability to make mistakes.
Yeah.
I would never, ever, ever sit here on my like throne being like, I would never cheat. I would never do that. Because, you know, everyone has the ability to make mistakes. But I think it's more about making mistakes and then, oh, what's that quote? Actually, I've got enough time for one more quick quote.
Give it to me.
Your next step after a mistake matters more than that you made one.
Wow, that is really good chat.
That is really
that's it,
good
guys.
Chat.
Everyone's bloody human, you know. Can't You're be too hard on yourself, dolls. All right, let's get into these stories, shall we?
Let's do it.
All right, story number one. So me and my boyfriend lived together since day one. He was the kindest person I'd ever met, which made this whole situation even more confusing. There are a lot of signs around sex that I ignored because I really loved him and he was the type of person who put everyone's needs above his own. What happened even blew my family's minds because we all just thought he was so kind and caring. So here's a few dot points that happened during the relationship. Any disagreement we would have would always turn the argument into being about why we didn't have sex every day. That's weird. Went on a break around 1 year mark because he felt like we weren't having enough sex.
Sex addict.
He said every other girlfriend he'd ever had had always had sex with him every night for years, so there must be something wrong with me. So once we'd gotten back together, he brought home hormone pills for me to take to increase my sex drive. At this point, we were only having sex once or twice a week. I took them for about a month. This sounds a bit fucked. I know I should want to have sex with my boyfriend, but he just ruined it for me. So anyway, I promised that I would always have sex at least once a week. If it went one day over the week, he would start being really rude to me, which was super noticeable because he was always so kind. So now here's the cheating story.
He's like a gaslighting her for sex. Like, ooh, everyone else does it every night. I'm telling you right now, sis, they don't.
Literally. Leave that girl's pussy alone. All right.
Sorry, I took a minute to figure out what you just said then.
Okay. We had a disagreement about the use of my car. This ended up being an argument about why I don't have sex with him every night. Fucking hell, this poor girl.
Hey, you can't use my car and also you don't have sex with me every night.
Like, just so throw that in there. Mid-argument, he says he's going to the bathroom to watch porn. I was like, how can you be so horny that you have to go watch porn mid-argument? I think he just wanted a reaction because he got back into bed and then said, well, if you're not going to have sex with me, I'll go find someone who will. I honestly just thought that was him trying to hurt my feelings, so I ignored him and went to sleep. The next day I was doing a uni assignment all day and he went out with his mates around lunch. It got to about 9 p.m. and I decided I'd message him. My feelings were pretty hurt from the night before and he would usually apologize the next morning. I was pretty annoyed in my messages. I said I was really over the arguing and would have expected him to apologize after such a hectic comment. He never replied. I randomly woke up at 4 a.m. and he wasn't home. We lived in the valley, so it wasn't like him to go all the way to his mates after a night out when we were just a few minutes walk away. I just had this gut feeling that something was wrong. I know this is so crazy, but I drove over to his mates because it was so unlike him not to respond to me. I walked in the house through the back door, which entered straight into a bedroom, and there he was in bed, no clothes on, with another girl.
Oh, at the friend's house.
Yep.
Shit.
I always thought I'd be so angry if this ever happened to me, but I just sat there and froze in shock. I kept saying, what? Why? What is happening? And then the girl goes, oopsie, I better go, and runs out of the room. And he said, you should have known this was going to happen. I told you that you don't have sex with me enough.
Fucking gaslighter. Hell.
Imagine that being your first reaction when this, like, the girl you love busts you. Holy fuck.
Like, it's called say sorry, bro.
Say sorry, c'est la vie. So I was shaking and crying and asked him to go home with me and talk about it, and he said no.
Oh!
And I said, why? Are you going to continue having sex with her? And he goes, yes, please leave. I've never spoken to him or seen him ever again. It was pretty brutal to see the person you love in bed with someone else, but I'm honestly so grateful it happened. I've been living with my new boyfriend for about 6 months now and we have sex every day or at least once or twice, get it, sis, which just made me realize the way my ex treated sex was what was putting me off doing it with him. Wow, this poor girl. That is fucking mental.
That's okay.
To make her take hormone pills, like that's like next level, a little bit psycho, bro.
Well, it sounds like he's definitely got some kind of sex addiction. Not that I'm like, you know, making excuses for him, but that's definitely, you know, got some issues tied to it. You know, some people just find sex as like a real, like they use it as like a weapon almost in a relationship.
Literally.
Oh my God, she sent photos. She's hot as too, by the way.
Wow.
This girl's a stunner.
Oh, well,
Dale,
babe,
if you're listening.
Yeah, I'm glad that you found a nice new guy and that you've kind of like just really being able to put that behind you, because what a fucking lunatic.
That's yucky.
I hate that guy.
I hope that he gets wind of this podcast and figures out that it was him. And just so you know, I say, burn in hell.
Scream.
Oh, wow. Courtney's looking across at me like, oh, I don't know if we can say burn in hell, but you know, say la vie. All right. Story number two. Hey, girls. This one is a long, long one. So strap yourselves in. I was in a relationship with a guy several years ago, and boy, did he do a number on me. Initially, the relationship was great and we shared some really special times together. He was quite an athletic boy who loved playing sport and was particularly good at Oz tag.
Go off.
He played representative tag and spent most of his nights training or playing in both men's and mixed teams. I met a few players in their teams but was never overly interested in being the girlfriend that hangs out on the sideline fangirling, particularly when it's Oz tag. All I'm going to say is fair enough to that. One year, I planned a surprise birthday for him and added a few of his teammates on Facebook to invite them, one being a girl from his mixed side. He always talked quite highly of her. They would hang out from time to time and my suspicion began to grow. However, I never acted on it because I didn't want to come across as insecure or overdramatic.
Sorry, is she an Oz tagger?
The other girl is, yeah.
Right.
He plays in his mixed team.
No, it's not.
Over the last part of our relationship, he began to buy me unnecessary extravagant gifts, which should have been a red flag, as his conscience was obviously getting the better of him. And that was his way to make himself feel better for the dog act that he was doing. To cover his tracks, he also convinced me into a competition of who could stay off Facebook the longest to avoid me seeing posts he may get tagged in, which again, I stupidly did. Fuck, I love where this is going. Like, I hate this for her.
Oh, my God.
Time had passed and he ended up getting picked to play for Australia in the World Tournament for Oztag. Can I just say the Oztag, it's the Oztag for me.
Oztag undertones, like I can't.
Which meant he would play over in England. The only other person he knew who was picked for the team was the girl from his mixed team. How
convenient.
He was planning to go over Europe to play and then do a few weeks in Europe on holiday. I asked him what the girl's plans were if he knew when she was flying, etc. He pretended that he had no idea and that they really hadn't talked to each other about their plans for the trip. The day of his departure came and his mum was taking him to the airport. On the way to the airport and while waiting to board his flight, he was sending me numerous messages saying that he will miss me, he loves me, and he can't wait to see me when he gets back. Something just wasn't sitting right with me. I waited until he boarded the plane and logged into Facebook. Straight away, I was hit with the photo that the girl had posted of the two of them at the airport with the caption of "Our first trip away together, love heart." I immediately screenshot it and sent it to him. As he was in the air, I had to wait until he landed in his transit destination for a response when he initially continued to deny that they were together. He must have known that his lies had caught up to him and he admitted finally that he had been cheating on me with her for almost a year.
Wow.
I sent a message to the girl to wish her all the best with this absolute dead shit.
Did the girl reply?
She doesn't say anything.
Fuck.
All I would say to any other girls that are in similar situations or if something doesn't feel right or doesn't add up, trust your instincts. And don't worry about whether or not you may look crazy. 9 times out of 10, you're probably right. Thank fuck he's out of my life. I'm now in a long-term relationship and never have been happier.
I just think the whole don't go on Facebook, that again, full like gaslight energy. That's fucking rogue.
Well, that's not even gaslighting at that stage. That's just like secretive. Like that's like keeping.
That's kind of just making like, I would just feel like such a fool if I were like, all right, babe, let's stay off social media. But it's so that like in case he gets tagged in anything.
Yeah.
That's sneaky behavior. Yeah. I hate that for you, babe.
I feel like in situations like that, like I don't know how to even explain it, but I just feel like you would know. Like surely you would know. If someone said to me, hey, Lucy, let's do a little competition to say how long you could stay off Instagram, I'd be like, why? What are you doing on Instagram, you fucking sus cunt?
See, and that's it. Like if you hadn't ever been like in a sus situation, though, you probably wouldn't think that. You'd be like, yeah, so true. I'm on my phone all the time, you know?
Like if there's an, yeah, true. If there's like an alternative kind of motivation behind
it. Literally.
It is one of those things though, like you know deep in your heart, I think, when someone has the ability to do shady shit and you can just feel it in your like in your whole body. And I feel like that if you're ever feeling like that with a guy, although, you know, a lot of people carry past traumas into like new relationships and yeah, that happens. But I do think a lot of the time your instinct and intuition is bang on.
You have to listen to your gut for sure.
You definitely do.
To an extent, I guess. All right, next story. Story number three. I have a doozy for you, gals. Strap in.
Ooh.
So I was with my ex for 3 years and we lived together for about 2.5 of them. Once I broke out with him, I found this random girl blocked on my Instagram account.
Oh, it's always the cheeky block for me.
So I unblocked her and messaged her and she said that she had messaged me 2 years ago and still had the conversation in her phone. So she screenshot it and showed me. So long story, she met my boyfriend around the same time I did online and while she was living in a different state than Queensland, so they'd never actually met. But he talked to her constantly for a year before she flew to Cairns to meet up with him. They met in town and hooked up that night on the street. She told me the night it happened and I remember it because I picked him up from town that night too. Oh no. She messaged me a couple months later and he responded from my phone because she'd messaged me late at night and my phone just happened to be charging on his side of the bed that night.
Oh, wow. So, didn't he get lucky?
So the odds were definitely in his favour. So he saw it, responded to her rudely and then blocked her. She showed me their whole conversation thread for over a year while we were dating. I also found out that when I was away in Berlin on a work trip for 5 days, he had a girl over. My old housemate told me after I told her everything else that I'd found out. It was absolutely insane what he put me through and what he kept for me in 3 years. I have so much more to tell about the crazy narcissist he was, but that was the cheating side. On a good note, it's been over a year since I broke up with him. I've moved and I couldn't be happier. Wow.
I'm glad she's...
I'm loving that all these happy literally. Endings. Yeah,
everyone's coming like, out of so it. I'm so glad, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like we were saying before, it's one thing to cheat and make a mistake and then kind of rejig your life and make the changes and then move forward. But like some of these guys, like it's the full-on secret of relationships for me. Like that second story that we just told before, like I wonder if he's still with that other bird, the Oztag girl.
And like what she knows.
If you're listening, Oztag.
It happened to Alexis, remember? When we spoke about it on the podcast, yes. Like that was fucking wild. And there was like kids involved with that.
Literally.
Mental.
When I gut feelings, like what's the other saying? Where there's smoke, there's fire. Like gut feelings well and truly are guardian angels. I'll never forget with my boyfriend that I was with when I was much younger. I remember knowing, and to be fair, we had been on the break at the time, but I just remember knowing that he was lying about seeing this girl one day. And this is so bad, but you know, call me crazy. I don't care. I was friends with the girl's sister and I said to him, I am going to text my friend and ask if you saw her sister while we were broken up. And he went to the lengths to text her saying, don't tell Lucy.
Oh my God, that's right. That was fucking gnarly, wasn't it?
It's just crazy. And I said, I lied to him and I said, yeah, she told me that it did happen, even though she didn't, but I just tricked
you
him just into
knew.
It.
Ha ha, trick question.
Ha ha,
you suck, motherfucker.
The old trick, the old pretend you know something that you don't, but then it actually works in your favour. We love to see it.
All right, story number four. You have my attention, lady, because this is what it's titled. Cheating story, always check the Bitmoji.
Oof,
stop. So my partner and I were best friends since year two and we'd been together since the end of high school. We're at the 3 year mark and we're going through a rough patch. We were young on different pages and he resented me for traveling the world without him. He was an apprentice and didn't have a lot of money at the time. While I was at a party with my girlfriends, he went to a music festival with his friends and wasn't responding to any of my messages, just leaving me on scene and I was getting a little worried. He'd given me his password to his Stan account, so I thought I'd try and use that to log into his Snapchat to find out what he was up to. Lo and behold, the idiot had the same password, so I had full access. I noticed that there was a name of his friend, let's call him Mark, but their Bitmoji was a girl. Sus. A chat popped up from Mark while I was logged in, so of course, nosy old me clicked on that to find that it was in fact a girl that he had messaged. The username was a girl's name, let's call her Chloe, saying, you could have stayed, thanks for a good time. I instantly felt sick. I was absolutely furious, so I replied to her saying, who the fuck are you? This is his girlfriend messaging. And the girl replied apologising, saying that she didn't know he had a girlfriend and told me that she was going to delete all contacts with him. Good chick, not her fault she was a cheating prick. He was a cheating prick, sorry.
I love this sisterhood.
I know. She said that she met him at the festival and one thing led to another. Wow, what a dog. I was so furious. He ended up seeing the messages on his Snapchat and instantly knew he was in the doghouse. I ended our relationship with no thought of ever going back. To make matters worse, all the boys he was at the festival with were all friends of mine that we all grew up with, so I was absolutely shattered that they let this happen.
Oh, that sucks.
That really does suck, babe. I instantly went on to live my best life, going out with girlfriends, hooking out with guys, and just enjoying the freedom of not having to give a fuck about anyone else. Safe to say, it gave me an opportunity to find myself again, and I was a stronger person because of it. A year later, we ended up catching up as friends and hanging out. He told me that he'd really fucked up and didn't realize what he had done till I was gone. Duh, I'm fucking awesome. One thing led to another and we hooked up again. Oh, no, babe. The year apart allowed us to both grow as individuals. Like I said, we were very young when we first got together, so never really experienced life apart. He was honestly a changed man. He was so thoughtful, kind, and loved me a lot. 3 years on, we are now engaged, living together, and are the happiest we've ever been. I'm not saying every cheating story can have a happy ending, but for us, it ended up working out for the best.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to lie. I love that story.
Me too.
I love that story because I do think people make mistakes and I do think you can reform.
And I think you can grow up, you know, like you guys were obviously really young and stuff and then took time to go to be apart and like, I guess, essentially get that out of your system.
Yep.
And now you've come back together. You're feeling much more ready. From his end, he's probably like, wow, when I fucking lost you, was it worth doing that to some random girl? Probably not. And now you're so happy.
And I love that when she tells that story, she's honest. Like, obviously, it's an anonymous story, but she's honest and forthcoming about him doing a complete dick move. And I like, I don't know what actually happened because she didn't really go into it, but I like that she didn't then be like, yeah, and then he gaslit me and said, well, you fucking deserve it. Like, it sounds like he was like, fuck, I did the wrong thing. She broke up with him. And you, like, it's all about how you handle it after.
Yeah, big time. Majorly. Like, there's so many people that just, like, especially like the people that turn around like that guy, like, you were not giving me enough sex. It's like, well, you fucking blew that, you idiot. Like, you know, you just like, sound like a goose.
Literally. Ugh. You can come back from things, but, you know, it's not.
And I think it's a, it's down to like a respect thing as well. So like obviously, although in that moment it was disrespectful, he still would respect this particular girl so much as a person that he would like redeem himself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Good on him.
Yeah, good on
him. Proud of you guys if you're listening.
Happy wedding.
Love that. Story number five. Hey girls, this story isn't too crazy, just fucking weird. My ex-boyfriend, we were together for just over 2 years, was cheating on me for 6 months, and because it was my first relationship, I was so obsessed with him and ultimately so blind to it. Basically, I found out he was cheating on me because one of the girlfriends in his friend group told me, and I later confronted him, and he broke down completely. I mean, that's a pretty standard cheating story so far, but the weird thing about this whole breakup was that he would then continue to come to my work to say hi. One time he even came to buy a pair of UGG boots, which I later found out was for the girl he was cheating on me with and who is now his girlfriend. Who the fuck goes into their ex-girlfriend's stores and buy their side bitch UGG boots? Also, on my birthday in 2018, he messaged me a short happy birthday message and I replied with a simple, thank you, I appreciate it. Only took a look at my phone 3 hours later with an essay from him about how much he wants me back and how it was unfair I broke up with him. I obviously rejected him, which I felt very good about. About a year later, his girlfriend, said side bitch, came up on my Instagram suggested, and because I'm a nosy bitch and she was on public, I decided to stalk her. Babe, welcome to the
standard
club.
Yeah.
I was shocked as I saw a post on my birthday that said, happy 1 year to my favorite. This fucking means the dickhead sent me an essay about how much he wants me back. I rejected him, so he then went to ask this girl to be his girlfriend all in the same day.
Oh, no way. Wow.
That's like the timing of it's kind of weird, isn't it?
Literally.
I would feel sorry for her, but she knew about me and knew that he was cheating on me with her for 6 months, so good luck with that, queen.
Fuck. That's it, hey. It's like if you like left a really shit guy, you'd almost be a bit like, good luck to the girl. Like, this is what you need to know. But also, if you choose to stay with them, good luck.
I always find it interesting. And like, this is another quote. I love that today's like all about quotes, all about cheating. But I read this quote and it was like, the people that treat you like shit are the first ones to call you crazy. So it's like, for instance, like if I was realistically at 31 years old, and although I am pretty crazy, like, I feel like I would handle this situation as best as I could. Realistically though, if I found out if a guy was cheating on me and I had some way of knowing who the girl was, I would message her And do you think that's crazy? I don't think that then classes is crazy. Do you?
Nah.
I would message her and just say, hey, I just need confirmation. Just found out my boyfriend was cheating on me.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
But then in so many cases, boys are like, she's crazy. She messaged the girl. I'm like, because you're cheating on her.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you got, you just go straight to the horse's mouth, doll.
Literally.
Especially like girl code.
Literally.
It's a thing, you know, it's like that. Like no chick's ever going to be like, especially if they don't know about you. She'll literally. Be like, fuck, sorry, babe. Yeah, this is what's happened.
Oi, but speaking of girl code, I just want to interject something that I did once. Some of my best moments are on the fly, and I didn't even tell Nick that I did it until like after. She's like, well said. A boy was chatting to me at one stage, and I was pretty sure he, if not had a girlfriend, had just very recently broken up with his girlfriend. And I just said to him, like, I was kind of embarrassed to say it because, you know, by saying something like this, you're being presumptuous that they were kind of essentially tuning you. But I just said to him one time, I just said, hey, I just wanted to check in and make sure you don't actually have a girlfriend, because you've tagged in photos really recently with a girl and I wouldn't feel very comfortable chatting to you this much if you had a girlfriend. And then I went, dot, 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 girl code.
Yeah.
Hope you understand.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that for you.
Well, it's just kind of like I wasn't sure how to handle it because I didn't want to seem like I was like, because he could have just then turned around and been like, I'm not even flirting with you, you dickhead.
It's funny because some girls, I don't know, so I feel like there's two sorts of people. There's the girls that are like, oh, I'm not getting involved in that shit, like steer clear. And then there's the girls that are like, I guess kind of get kicks out of being the other woman, like look at it as more of a competitive advantage. Do you know what I mean?
All right, story number six. Okay, so this one may be long and confusing and one I'm throwing myself under the bus a little for, but it's lockdown, so can it get really worse? So basically my now current boyfriend, let's call him Ed, and I have been together for over a year. He's the absolute love of my life and I genuinely think that I have found my soulmate.
Love that.
Anyway, sappy stuff aside. Prior to meeting him, I was with my ex of pretty much a year. Let's call him Jack. P.S. He's in the Defence Force. Big red flag, girls, if you know, you know. And then prior to Jack, I was with another boy. Let's call him Ben. So here's a little timeline in case you guys are confused. First boyfriend, not relevant to this story. He's boring. Then there was Ben. Then moved on to Jack. And now currently with Ed. So I've always had history with Ed. I knew of him in high school and I always thought that he was super cute. We went to different schools, but way back in the day, he was friends with Ben, an old ex, which was sort of how I knew him. Pretty much when Ben and I broke up, he didn't handle it well and I didn't know what to do, and so I turned to Ed. I'm not quite sure why, but Ed had always been a lovely person and I knew him and Ben used to be very close. Basically, he spoke to Ben and tried to help him during the time, but there was unfortunately not much either of us can do. So I turned to his family and pretty much cut ties so it didn't get any more emotionally abusive for myself. Anyways, basically Ed and I built a really good connection at this point and he was the only other guy that I'd ever felt this comfortable and at ease with. We'd both just come out of very toxic relationships and as much as we both really liked each other, it just felt like it wasn't our time. Introducing Jack.
Mm.
Jack was basically nothing like Ed. He was pretty much the opposite in every way.
Jack's also the AJ.
Yep. He knew I'd spoken to Ed for quite a while and we got quite close. He was insecure about this, which frustrated me a little as we weren't even together. I remember one night I went clubbing with some friends and both boys were there, Ed and Jack. I was dancing with Ed and Jack saw and pulled me away and said to me, don't dance with him, he's ugly. I was shocked and appalled as we, Jack and I, were not even together. Anyways, much to my regret looking back in hindsight, I ended up in a relationship with Jack and Ed went a bit crazy with his mates as you do when you're single, fresh out of a toxic, restricting relationship. Fast track through my relationship with Jack, he was a really shitty boyfriend to put it simply and also extremely toxic, should have seen the red flags, doll. He always told me that I couldn't break up with him, blah, blah, because he'd never leave and all that fun stuff. But he'd always wanted to be in the Defence Force, which was almost my silver lining in a way. Basically, he left for the Defence Force and we drifted immensely. I think he knew in his heart that I wasn't emotionally in the relationship, as he always made comments like, you're going to break up with me when I join the military and stuff like that. Fast track one night, Jack and I had a huge argument while he was away and I was just honestly so off it by this point. I really wanted to break up with him as I had for a long time prior. And this is where it gets juicy. I remember feeling insanely pulled to message Ed again. I missed the comfort I felt with him and how easily we could talk to one another. I decided to drive to an empty parking lot one night and I was like, fuck it, just message him to talk. You're friends, you're allowed to see a guy friend. So I was panicking, but I messaged him anyway and said basically I knew we hadn't talked in a long time, but I really needed to talk to someone about some stuff. As soon as I hit send, I was like, fuck, bro, you got balls, and threw my phone across my car.
Oh my God, I've done that before.
It buzzed maybe a minute later and I swiftly grabbed it, still panicking. He replied saying, of course, he would come and ask where I was. So I told him and so it began. We only ever just talked. Honestly, nothing else ever happened at the start. And I always told him we were strictly friends and he agreed, but the feelings were definitely still there from how I felt in the past. I wouldn't tell him all my problems and he would tell me how much that he hated that Jack made me feel this way. I would cry and cry and cry to Ed about everything. He was always my rock. Fast forward a couple of weeks, I started really looking forward to our drives because they became a habit for both of us to just talk about life, work, our families. And I just really looked forward to seeing him. And I thought, this isn't right. You obviously have feelings for this guy and you don't want to be that girl. I really didn't. So one night I was messaging Ed and told him I was going to break up with Jack. I called Jack, he was still away in the military, and basically broke up with him. I told him it was over and I couldn't do it anymore and I was sorry. He told me I couldn't break up with him and that we had to stay together until he came home for a break. And I just said no and it just ended up in a big argument. The next day I was going to a house party to get lit. And I just wanted to drink the bullshit away. That was my love life. It was all way too complicated for me at this point. Anyways, I ended up getting pretty wild, hashtag no regrets, and then Ed ended up picking me up from this party.
Oh.
Say hey. Tales all the time, dog.
Literally.
Basically, I was in all black with a leather jacket and here he was at 3 a.m. complimenting me, saying how good I looked, and I was just thinking, fuck it, let's go. He got out the front of mine and I remember hugging him to say goodbye and he kissed me. I was a little shocked that he made the first move, but also not because he's actually that fucking hot. I was like, of course you know what you're doing. Anyways, one thing led to another and the deed was done on the back seat. I still love that car.
Go off, sis.
Let me just tell you, it was the best sex of my life with this guy, honestly. The passion had been building for months and it was just so fucking good. Anyway, moving on. The next day I called Jack and ensured that he knew that I was utterly serious, that we were over and I was not taking no for an answer, so it was ended. He continued to still be a dick as we had a joint account together. We'd both emptied our halves, but he just refused to close it because he was a jerk. Anyway, moral of the story is don't date a defense boy and go with your gut, sis. If I had dated Ed straight after Ben, it would have saved a lot of tears and sneaky drives, but I guess I would have missed half the fun. Lucy, Nikki, love you guys. You've inspired me to bring out my inner wild child and so do all the punters. Tempted to go get the happy hour tat now. Hee hee. Thanks, girls, for reading.
Bless. Aww. So basically she fell in love with this guy. So
it was always Ed.
Yeah. She fell in love with him after her XX that got really sad, but then dated this other guy in the interim and then ended up with him in the end.
Yeah.
I guess, do you think you always end up with the person you're meant to in the end? Courtney's shaking her head. She's a cynic.
Yeah, I think so. I think everything happens for a reason. And I think maybe it doesn't mean that will be forever, but I think it's like, because I'm watching Sex Life at the moment and I'm like, she's so drawn to her ex-partner who technically wasn't good for her, but like I feel like it's sort of like a situation where that other girl's story where they might have both grown now and they might actually be able to make each other really, really happy.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, but that's a risk you got to take. You got to leave the comfort zone.
Timing really is everything too, isn't it?
Like, big time.
When you see some people and you meet them at a certain phase and then you look at them one way and then, you know, in 3 years' time you might look at them a completely different way. And if you had dated in that early stage, things could have gone one way, or if you dated in the later stage, things could have gone another way. It's just like, it's all a big gamble, really.
You've
got to play your cards right.
Trust the process, dolls.
Trust the process. Well, that's all the cheating tales we have time for today, but we, of course, have a little bit of time for Lucy's celebrity gossip.
Chee-hoo!
Lucy's celebrity gossip. All right, so first cab off the rank today, Halsey. We all know and love. She sings a great song with the Chainsmokers.
I love her.
And actually with Machine Gun Kelly.
Someone told me I look like Halsey once.
You're completely different. She's got short hair.
Well, just because that's what you look like.
That's kind of what I base everyone's look off.
Nah, hair's different.
Anyway, she gave birth to her first child, Ender Ridley Aiden, born on July 14th. And yeah, so excited. She actually suffered from endometriosis, which we all know is really common.
Literally. Mm. So common. Like,
But yeah, that she's happy now, for you, Halsey. Yeah,
happy ending there.
J-Lo and Ben Affleck have been seen mansion hunting on the weekend.
Oh, my God, I love this. Looking at
buying a $65 million house.
Oh, same, guys, same.
Can I just say, J-Lo and Ben Affleck in both of their realms, like they're both MVPs. Like,
yeah, fuck yeah.
You know, Ben Affleck's up in the Matt Damon, Ben Affleck.
He's a steezled. And they've both just
Leo DiCaprio kind of realm. And J-Lo, there's no one more famous than J-Lo. Like, she's like Madonna.
And they've both, yeah, she actually is, isn't she?
Pretty
much.
She's
a fucking icon. But they've both just aged so well.
Oh, Ben Affleck has his moments, babe.
Oh, does he?
He looks good at the moment, but he's looked weathered.
Man, her, though, I can't get over.
He was married to Jennifer Garner.
Garner. He loves a Jenny. But Jennifer Lopez was before Jennifer Garner.
Yeah, so it was J-Lo, then Jennifer Garner. And then back to J-Lo. But now, you know who I always get Jennifer Garner mixed up with? Jessica Biel, who's married to Justin Timberlake.
I can so see that.
I don't actually. Like, I know exactly who they are, but I do always get them confused IRL.
Yeah.
Okay, Courtney's just chimed in and said, have you seen Ben Affleck's back tattoo? And we're just Googling right now as
this
we speak.
This is a live reaction. Oh, fucking hell. Jeez Louise.
Jesus, is that Charizard? Is that a Pokemon?
That is a huge-ass dragon. Someone watched Game of Thrones. Same. I, too, have a back tattoo of Khaleesi riding the dragon.
Hey, so just to give everyone playing at home a depiction, actually, just Google Ben Affleck tattoo. It is a huge, colourful dragon, like really detailed, for lack of a better word.
Some people just go hard out with the art pieces, don't they? At least they it's really not a koi fish.
Hey, my high school boyfriend's got a koi fish on his arm.
My
hey,
high school boyfriend's out. Brother had one as well.
It's like... Yeah, it's always so funny when people have barely any tattoos and then they just go and get like the most aggressive tattoo.
Like a huge sleeve or something.
Well, it's like one of our friends has like barely any tattoos and he just went and got the Buddha of his whole calf. Way to go in hard with a huge detailed tattoo. Yeah.
Literally.
Interesting. Anyway.
No gain, doll.
Literally. And lucky last today, actually, you know what? We need to touch on Britney as well because that's been overlooked. But Blake Lively clapped back at the Daily Mail. The Australian Daily Mail, I might say, for sending men out to hide and stalk her children and snap photos of them. Yeah, so Blake Lively must be in Australia at the moment. And I don't know if you've seen, there's this whole big thing where now celebrities are really, really fighting back about their kids getting papped.
Yeah, that thing that Gigi Hadid put up.
Yeah, and I reckon fucking fair enough.
Yeah.
Let these little kids, I don't know, paparazzi. We've had paparazzi, obviously, because we've got some friends that are quite well known. And we've had some paparazzi at like events and stuff that we've been at. And one of them showed up at one of our events the other night and was just like, can I take some photos? And I was kind of like, not really. Yeah. Like, it's kind of like.
At least he asked. Like, these ones are so aggressive that they're just hiding in bushes and stuff. Like, that's even worse.
Literally.
And their cameras are so intense. Like, we had that bloke at the airport trying to snap Tammy. And it was like full on. Like, and we're just like walking ahead to our gate and he's like running in front of us. Just very obvious, like it's so obvious, guys. Like I was like, don't you hide?
Literally.
You're right here.
Yeah, it's a weird little thing, isn't it? Okay, so now we're just going to quickly have a quick pombo about Britney Spears. So
Poor Brit.
So I've been trying to follow this as much as I could, but I've also just kind of completely lost track of what's going on. But from what I gather, now Brit is at the stage. She's come out and basically said along the way that her whole life she's been put on these crazy medications. She hasn't even been able to have like a say over her own birth control. They put like an implant on or whatever in her arm or whatever it was. Some kind of permanent contraception that basically you can't, you know, take out unless it's like surgically removed so that she couldn't have any more kids. They've been like controlling her financials. You know, she can't leave the house and do all this stuff. It's been like horrendous. So now she's finally fighting back and is going to sue her dad, who's been in control of this whole situation. And now she's even kind of clapping back at her sister for potentially, I was just reading the article literally just before, basically saying like, you know, her sister should be supporting her, but now instead her sister's just going off and singing her songs at you know, shows. Because obviously, like, her sister's only
is
famous
she
because of her.
Essentially, like, impersonating Britney?
Well, I don't know if you would call it impersonating, but it's like when one of the Pussycat Dolls came to Townsville and tried to sing her own songs and no one cared, and then she sang the Pussycat Doll songs. Like, it's kind of like that kind of, you know, thing. But I'll just get some more information up for us while we're talking about it. We've known for a while that Jamie Lynn Spears has been inactive, passive, and unsupportive of Britney during her
conservatorship.
Whatever works. Let's go with that. But now Britney has revealed that a performance made by Jamie Lynn in 2017 hurt her deeply. So basically she went on stage and performed a remix of one of Britney Spears' songs.
Gotcha.
And so now they've gone on this big Instagram kind of shade where they're throwing shade at each other, and Britney Spears has put up, you know, multiple posts and stuff, and, you know, Jamie's been hitting back. It's just poor Britney Spears. Like, imagine, you know, your family is supposed to be the people that support and look out for you the most. But
yeah, you'd feel ultimate betrayal.
Yeah. Like, that's your blood. Like, you can't. And not only are they like, it's not even just emotionally, but it's financially. It's just, you know, it's just awful.
You see it happen so often, though. It's like these people are like, start to provide, you know, I guess the wages and like the comfortable life to so many people around them, that that's why there's so much pressure. It's like the Amy Winehouse documentary, how like most of her pressure came from her dad. Like, it's so sad. It's they just like, become like this little moneymaker that has to sustain such a large entourage that if they go through things and miss a tour, then like everyone's not used to living, you know, like it's like, oh, but then we won't get paid. It's
so true.
At someone else's mental health.
Do you think the only reason why Kris Jenner hasn't ended up like this because it's because she's got like six kids that are making her all this money?
Or? Probably. Literally. They're all fucking making bank.
If there was just
Jenner
one of them.
She needs one of them to make bank anyway.
Literally. So I read this thing the other day and I was like, fuck yeah, Kris Jenner. She earns 10% off every deal that any one of her kids does.
Wow.
And she also is like a founding, she's like the founder of KKW Beauty.
Do you know what though? Like, not that I know them at all, but like, you can just tell that Kris is there. Like, I reckon Kris would still be paying for family Christmases. Like, don't, like, she's just like such a lord.
Doll, they don't call it Christmas for no reason.
Oh, fuck. Is that a thing?
No, I just said that.
But do you know what I mean? I feel like she still heavily plays the role of a mother. Like,
I just love Kris Jenner,
man. Me too.
I am unashamedly, if that's the right word, I hope so, a huge Kris Jenner fan. And I wish, like, I love my mum, don't get me wrong, but fuck, I wish Kris Jenner was my mum.
But, like, even Sam, who, you know, Sam Mangan Group, owns AKA. Our body doll. He has met her and he said that she is just so awesome in real life too.
IRL, yeah. I just reckon Kris Jenner is just that kind of like American and Canadian mums, because I went to school in Canada and I remember some of my friends' mums, and it might just be the accent, I don't know, but there's something just so warm about these like real moms. Oh, mom, like they're just so like, you just feel like, I don't know, if you had Kris Jenner on your side, you could take over the world and just be happy forever. Unless you're Rob. He's not done too well, has he?
Yeah, I know. What's the latest with Rob? Just give me that celeb gossip.
Well, someone told me once, I'm sure you were there, that he had racked up the biggest, is it Postmates over there? What's the kind of like Uber Eats of America?
Yeah, Postmates. Oh, yeah. That's
he racked up the biggest Postmates bill in California. Someone told me. I don't know if that's true, but, you know, c'est la vie. Anyway, guys, that's all we've got time for today. As always, we hope you loved this episode and you rate and review.
Big time. Rate and review. It's been a while between rates and reviews. And, like, to all the girls that have been cheated on or, you know, that submitted stories and everything, I'm really happy that, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Hang in there, boobsies.
And do you know what actually Jim Jackson calls cheaters? Cheater pumpkin eaters. So don't be one of those.
Literally. Pumpkin soup eater.
Bye. This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. To stay up to date with us, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, leave us a review, and follow us on Instagram @we_the_wild_ones. Cheers, babes.